Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Here ends the second lesson of the day.
Him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came into the spirit, in the spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. They have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and the sword will pierce through your own soul also, and so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping, fasting, and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to the Lord.
from the beginning when we greet one another to when we enter together in worship in your name to the final benediction. We are here because you came here. And we are here with hope, for you are still here. And we have the promise that you will never leave nor forsake us until you safely take us home. May we be encouraged by your words today. Minister to our hearts. Encourage our spirits. In your holy name. Amen. You know what yesterday was? If you're on Facebook or you have a good calendar or whatnot, you may have seen that yesterday was Boxing Day. You've seen that? Boxing Day. Now, before you envision Sugar Ray Leonard or others, it's not talking about the type of boxing that happens on the inside of a ring. Nor is it talking about boxing as far as some of you, and that would be another sermon that I won't give because of, it's better to be kind than theologically, technically right all the time. But Boxing Day is also not the day that you box up all your Christmas decorations, but we'll let that slide for another sermon. Boxing Day is a traditionally Anglican, British holiday. It's gone to other countries, goes back to about the early 19th century when there would be an altar box, an alms box, either at the altar or in the narthex. We're going to have it in the narthex today. A box where you could place in your alms, your giving, your gifts. And that alms box would be emptied and given to those that are in need. It also expanded where very wealthy people who had servants on Christmas Day serving them would give their servants the day off on the 26th of December. And they would be sent away to their homes to make merry and celebrate holiday with a box full of clothes and gifts, a box full of money, and a box full of food. So the whole concept of Boxing Day is that we are here to give from what we've received. In the bigger way, we give to others because Christ has given to us. And in the passage in Galatians 4, it's a very simple, short passage that Sue read for us. I want to look at what has God given to us? You've given gifts. You've received gifts. This has been a good Christmas season. A phrase, a question that we often ask growing up, and I still hear, was Santa Claus good to you? And we must all confess that Santa Claus has been far better to us than we deserve. I want to ask, what has God given to us? And it's answered in Galatians 4. And the first thing we see off the top is that God gave us His Son. We know that. We hear it. It was the first verse you probably learned. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But we see here that He gave us His Son made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus came and humbled Himself. He didn't just give, He humbled Himself. He submitted, as we just heard in that very powerful song. In the humiliation that Jesus Christ went, the one who created all things, the scripture tells us, the one by which nothing was made that wasn't made, the one who created the birthing and reproductive system, submitted Himself to go through the birth canal. Submitted Himself to be where He was the sovereign God of the universe, but He's being held by a 14 or 15-year-old girl. His well-being was placed in whether or not this woman would care for him adequately. He placed himself in a vulnerable position. He placed himself emptied of all the glories that were rightfully his. For you and for me. That song, Mary, Did You Know? In one way could answer, well, yes, she did. We know from the Magnificat that she was quite aware in one way, intellectually, the Spirit had told her, and she did know. But in another deeper way, I think the authors of that song intended it in a rhetorical way. Mary, if you allow me to annotate it, Mary, I know that you knew. I know that you get it theologically. You understand it cognitively. I know that the Holy Spirit explained it to you and you get it. But Mary, do you really comprehend? Do you really know? God gave us His Son. That word comes back to you and to me. That question comes to you. You have had to endure, and I've had to endure, a different way of doing communion. We've adapted and we have adjusted, but the way that we long to get back to is when some called person of the gospel who preached the word to you is then going to say, Webb, Agnes, Andy, with the very body of Christ given to you. And I'm going to ask you, do you know? Do you know? I know we get it intellectually. I know that we could repeat it as Mary did in the Magnificat. I know that we could explain it. But do we know in the depths of our being that God gave His Son for us? Born a woman. Born under the law. Do we really know? The second thing this passage tells us is that God not only gave us His Son, but God's Son gave us His life. In verse 5, we read again, to redeem those who were under the law. Redeem simply means to purchase. Earlier in the chapter prior to that, Paul writes in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us, beginning in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. He gave us His life. We would have no eternal life if God had not loved us enough to suffer and die. It's at the center of who we are. This understanding that love is sacrificial. I've had to learn that over my life. Some of you are naturally givers. Some of you just love to give. I'm a natural re-gifter. I love to go and, you know, get a real good deal on something. And I used to give people things that I wanted them to have. That was how it was like, okay, if I could just check it off the list that I gave this person an obligatory gift, now we're good to go. And I've had to learn over time, and I'm still learning, the joy of giving one you love gifts. Jesus Christ gave you His life. And He didn't do it. He did not do it out of a sense of obligation. He didn't do it begrudgingly. This is what's amazing about the grace. He laid down His life for you and for me and for the entire world. And He did it with joy. He wanted to do it. We sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, our dear Redeemer's grace. He sang, oh, if I had a thousand lives to give, I would do it for these people I love. We're loved that much. So God gave us His Son, and God's Son gave us His life. And the last two verses of this pericope in Galatians 4 is redemption gives us access. gives us access. We can call it koinonia, we can call it forgiveness, we can call it incorporation or unity, but he gave us access. Now, I have to admit, and maybe I'm the only one here that would admit it in church, but I absolutely hate to get the runaround. Do you ever feel that people are just intentionally making your day difficult? Have you ever called and they put you on hold? Or they ask you to tell you their story? I still don't know why I have to enter my account number and then give it back to them again. I don't understand why I have to tell a story to person B, and then I'm going to be transferred to person C, and then I'm going to be to B again and back to Z. And we all hate that. Probably the family were teasing me yesterday. My biggest pet peeve, I don't get angry a lot, but one of the things that really bothers me is I hate people not to return my phone calls. And in a long building project that Sherry and I are going through, I'm learning contractors don't usually return their phone calls. So I struggle with this. I hate it. And it, if I'm honest, the reason I hate it is I think I'm more important than that. If I'm honest with you, the reason it bothers me is I think, don't they know who I am? If it was a governor, I bet they'd return their phone call. I bet they're returning somebody else's phone call, but they're not returning mine. And if I'm honest with you, the reason why it irks me is my ego gets in the way. Let me quickly say that far more than that, you've been blessed in a way that you have complete access to the God of the universe. You have a privilege and a right and an entitlement to be in His presence through the name and finished work of Jesus Christ that angels fear to tread. We are incorporated into Him. We are His, and therefore we call Him Abba, this passage says. What's so beautiful about that is we get to call God what Jesus called God. We read in Mark 14 and other gospel passages that when Jesus prayed, He said, Abba, Father. And we get to call God what Jesus Christ got to call God. There are certain titles, there are certain names that you don't just get the right to say. You have to earn the right. A joy that I had as a little boy, some of you may have known him. He was a fine man, but probably my closest parents' friends were Lawrence and Elaine Simpson. And they were in each other's weddings, and they were our godparents when we were baptized. You may know the name Lawrence Simpson. He was for a long time the sheriff of the city of Lynchburg. And he was my godfather. And there's a point to this story. I'll make it brief. Lawrence's nickname was Punk. His nickname was Punk. And growing up as a little child, from early on, I just grew up that we called him Punk and Ms. Elaine. They told us to call him that. I remember one time in fifth grade in the city of Lynchburg, we took a field trip down to the city jail. And I got to tell you how much joy I found in seeing Sheriff Simpson. And I could go up to him and call him Punk. I had a friend, and I got a lot of joy from this. I had a friend that thought that if Tommy could do it, he could do it too. So he walked up and called Sheriff Simpson Punk and learned quickly that he didn't have the relationship to warrant that. You get the point, don't you, brothers and sisters? We get to go up to the Father of this universe and use the same name that Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, used. We get to call Him Abba. And it's totally appropriate because as John tells us in John 1:12, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have been given the authority to be His children. John will tell us later in 1 John that you're called the children of God because that's who you are. Did you worry any this year? Did you think you were going to go belly up? Did you think that somehow God had forgotten about you and us and the whole world this year? I did at times. And the message of Christmas, the message of the gospel comes and says, no, He has given you His Son. His Son has given you His life. And the Holy Spirit has given you access. It liberates us and it constitutes us. It sets us free and it sets us up. We have nothing to worry about. The beautiful thing is the same access that we have to God, we have to each other. We are brothers and sisters. We are family. Not because we sit together at the same place on Sunday morning, but because we are incorporated in one. Let me point out something in these verses that you might miss if you read it too quickly. If you remember, Paul, who wrote this, had been Saul. Remember Saul? The Pharisee of Pharisees. The epitome of a Jew. The one who had spent his young adult life persecuting the church with the zeal of only one who was a Jew could do. But now he's converted. Now he's incorporated in Christ. And he not only knows that gives him access and unity to Jesus Christ, but look in how he talks about the Gentiles he's writing to in Galatians. Look in verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because, verse 6, you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and son, and an heir through God. This same Spirit that gives us access, unencumbered, immediate access to God the Father, allows us to be true family, brothers and sisters. We are one. It's us. It's we. The beauty of this is it teaches us how to give to others. God has a favorite. God has a favorite child. But it's not me and it's not you. His only begotten Son, His favorite child is Jesus Christ. But through this gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm incorporated into the favorite child. So I'm an heir and I'm a joint heir. I'm incorporated fully into the favorite child of God. But you know who else is? That person that just gets under my skin also is there. That one that I have a hard time loving. That one that I feel has not treated me properly. Those ones that we have difficulty in loving. We know that they are also in Christ, incorporated. So we are to give them the love that Christ gave to Judas. On the night in which he was betrayed, he made no distinction in how he gave. He washed John the Beloved's feet right alongside Judas' feet. And we have access to God, but we also have a oneness with one another. See, in order to be reconciled, we have to be reconciling. Or as we prayed this morning, and pray every morning, and every morning when we gather in the Lord's Prayer, in order for me to be forgiven, I have to be forgiving. For me to be established in this grace of Christ that forgives me and to relish in this gift that I've been given, I have to be forgiving to everyone else that's incorporated in the love of Christ. If we understood this gift that we've been given, it would radically change how we see God, how we see each other, and how we see ourselves. We would know that God so loved us that He gave. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts to give you thanks and praise, Lord God, because you made your whole creation a temple of your glory and invited us into it to enjoy you forever. When you called Israel out of Egypt, you made yourself known. Through your covenant and a tabernacle of your presence, in Solomon you allowed your people to meet you, in a temple built by human hands. Finally, in Simeon you showed us what it means to wait faithfully, to see your salvation in your incarnate Son, in whom your own heart was pierced, that we might be made one with you. In your Son's death, the temple of his body was destroyed, but in 3 days you raised him, to be the place of our dwelling with you forever. And so with angels and archangels and the whole host of heaven, we join in the eternal song of your glory.
Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of peace and light, you have prepared a table before us in the presence of all peoples. And you have made it a gift of revelation and glory. Your servant Anna waited for you with fasting and prayer night and day. Visit your people that the secrets of our hearts may be laid bare and the secret of your heart be revealed. And make your people holy as you are holy. Send your Holy Spirit on this bread and on this blood, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Consoling God, as Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice in your temple, bring comfort to all who feel today like they are being sacrificed. By the cruel, the merciless, or the fanatical, as Simeon foresaw that your Son would be a sign that would be opposed, lest any who face hostility, anger, and violence. As the Holy Family realized that a sword would pierce their own soul, speak tenderly to those whose soul knows despair, loss, or betrayal. Make your church strong, fill your children with wisdom, and set your favor upon all who turn to you, until that day when heaven and earth become a temple of your praise, and your resurrection engulfs all who have made ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We speak often, brothers and sisters, of breaking bread. We read today in Psalm 111, as we called one another to worship,
He gives food to those who fear Him. He is ever mindful of His covenant. For the ancient Jew, in Old and New Testament, to break bread at someone at the table was to show your unity with them. To have someone come at your table and share bread, share a meal, was your saying to them and to the world, I approve of this one. This is why there are prohibitions in Old and New Testament about not breaking bread with those that you don't incorporate and associate and approve of that way. It was a symbol of oneness, a symbol of a recognition of the value. I want you to understand that when God invites you to a table where He is the host, where His body and blood are that which we partake of, He is saying to you, we are one in the covenant. I accept you. You are worthy to come to the table. Not because of your own goodness, but because of the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, who simply says the word, and we are healed. Come to the table. Therefore, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth to come to receive His very body, the bread of heaven. This covenant is established and purchased not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The shedding of His life blood is the giving of eternal life to us. Drink ye all of it. Sing of Mary, pure and lowly, virgin mother undefiled. Sing of God's own Son, most holy, who became her little child. Fairest child of fairest mother, God the Lord who came to earth. Word made flesh, our very brother, takes our nature by His birth. Forth to preach and heal and suffer, till on Calvary He will die. Glory be to the God the Father. Glory be to the God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. Glory be the three in one. Amen and amen. Thank you.
benediction from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless. Go in peace. The service is over.